Welcome to Voices and Views on KGPR 89.9, Great Falls Public Radio. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing Norma Ashby Smith, a Montana TV legend. Norma, thank you so much for coming and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Thomas. It's very nice to be with you. I love being on radio because I have a face for radio now.
I think you're not giving yourself enough credit, but I appreciate the humility.
Thank you.
And I do. So I ask all my guests that I'm a Flatlander. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, and I come out here. This is the most unique and I think wholesome is the word I want to use, place in the world. And it really is special, and I feel so blessed to be here. So tell me a little bit about your childhood and Montana values.
Well, I'm very blessed because I'm a fourth generation Montanan. And when I was in high school, I could pick any Montanan to write a term paper about. So I picked my great grandfather because he immigrated originally from Europe to New York to Montana. And he came out here in 1862 to Bannock, our first territorial capital. Then he was in Virginia City, and then finally he came to Broadwater County, what became Broadwater County near Winston, Montana, which I'm sure you haven't visited yet. And there he built his homestead, and I'm so proud of all the things he did, and I wrote the term paper about him. So that's part of my pride. He thought he was going to die young, so he had his tombstone made when he's in his 20s. It sat in his back shed for 67 years. He died at 97. And on his tombstone, he had written, "My mother's prayers kept me out of hell. Thank God for a blessed hope beyond the grave." And it's still in the Benton Avenue Cemetery in Helena. But at any rate, I had that as my beginnings. I grew up in Helena, went to University of Montana in Missoula, had a degree in journalism. Always knew I wanted to be some kind of a journalist. And I've been a parts of journalism my whole life, from newspaper work at my hometown in Helena to magazine work in New York City to advertising. And I never dreamed in a million years I'd ever be in television. But when I came back from New York to Great Falls because of illness in my family, I went right to the Great Falls Tribune. They didn't have an opening. Went to a couple of radio stations. They didn't have any openings. So I was working as a clerk in a farm supply store here in Great Falls. It was called Graham and Ross. And some of the old timers in Great Falls would remember Graham and Ross. It's just up the street east of the Elks Club today. The building's still there, but not Graham and Ross. That's where I was discovered by a salesman from KRTV who walked in, and I was introduced to him. And he asked me about my background. I said, "Well, I have a degree in journalism." He said, "Well, we're thinking of starting a daily TV show. And why don't you come up and apply?" And I thought, oh, okay, I guess that would be a little bit better than being a clerk for the rest of my life. Not that I don't admire clerks. So I went up and applied, and they said, "Well, what experience have you had in broadcasting?" I said, "Well, none." And they said, "Well, why do you think you can do this job?" And I said, "Well, I've been asking questions since I could speak." My first words were not "Mom and Daddy." They were "Who's that and what's that?" And so they must have liked what I said because they hired me. And they hired me on a Wednesday. And the following Monday, I was on the air with a show called Today in Montana. And the boss of the owner of the station was my co-host, Dan Snyder. And I turned to him, I said, "You know, I haven't any training for this. What should I or shouldn't do? And he said, "Just two things to remember. And if you do these two things, you'll go far in broadcasting." And I said, "Well, what are they?" And he said, "Well, don't swear on the air and don't pick your nose." And I burst out laughing. And I tell you, away we went. And I was on for 26 years.
That is an incredible story. That's good advice for life.
Yeah, it
right?
is.
No swearing and don't pick your nose.
Don't pick your nose. No, right. So anyway, and the best thing that happened to me right off the bat is I got the worst criticism of my whole career that first week. Because right off the bat, I did laugh a bit. And this viewer wrote and she said, "I can't stand your laugh. And what's worse, you make Dan laugh the way you laugh." And so I was, oh no. So I quit laughing. So then I get these letters, "Are you sick? Why aren't you laughing?" So I learned a real important lesson that if you don't like me, the best sensor is right at the end of your arm. And you can just turn me off if you don't like me. But I was in an era of broadcasting from 1962 to 1988. And that was a very calm era in the universe because I didn't get any hate letters. Nobody stalked me. Nobody called and, you know, threatened my life or anything. And we didn't have to have the doors of the station locked. I mean, it was a wonderfully safe time to be in the media.
Absolutely. I love reading. You've got a great book called Rattlesnakes and Movie Stars, which I highly encourage folks to check out. It's you can get it on Amazon. But I love that at the station, families would come in and bring their kids and everyone for an on-air Christmas special.
Oh, yeah. We do it every year. Yeah. So, yeah, we had a lot of viewers, lots of audience, and the audience probably saved my life one time because everybody says, of your 26,000 guests, who was your most memorable? And it was the rattlesnake handler from Rainsford. And his name was Cyril Kolarczyk, and I'm terrified of snakes anyway, but he called and said, can I bring my rattlesnake on your show? And I said, well, I guess so. That'd be pretty interesting viewing. So sure enough, he brought a live rattlesnake on the air, and I had no idea what he's going to do with it, but first he made it strike, and he had a ball on a stick, and he teased the snake, and it was striking at the ball, and then he picked it up and held it right up to the microphone, and I had a camera girl by the name of Susie Rothenbuehler, and he put a pencil around its fangs, and he was showing these fangs, and here she was looking right down the mouth of this rattlesnake. And then the climax came when he laid it down, back down on the floor, put his foot on its head, took out, and I went, and slaughtered it. And 13 baby rattlesnakes spilled out onto the floor. And, you know, and fortunately, we had a person in the audience who rushed up. He got a shovel, scooped him up, flew out the back door of the station, and buried him because they were poisonous too. And then he skinned the snake. He gave the skin to my camera girl, who later made a hat band out of it. And then he cut off the rattles and put it in my hand. And they were still moving. And the show was over. And I was, you know, as a broadcaster, you're supposed to be talking. I couldn't even speak. I was so shocked, and he did. I don't think he knew that snake was pregnant, but it was. And so that was my most memorable guest. And the phone started ringing off the hook. And the calls ranged from, we're going to report you to the Association of Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, to, that's the best show you've ever done. Why didn't you dress out a deer sometime?
That's an only in Montana story. And I do, the best part of that is then gives you the rattles and they make a hat out of it. That's taking, you know, making the best of a bad situation, which I love. Well, Norma, we could talk all day. I just love hearing just these incredible stories, you know, throughout your life and career. But I know today we want to focus on a great program that I know has been going on for 30 years. This is the 30th anniversary and is near and dear to your heart. Mm-hmm. It's Early Risers. So tell me a little bit about the program and how it got started.
Yes, this is very dear to my heart. And some of these programs, you know, you help with them a few times, and then, well, I've done it, I'm not going to do anymore. But this is truly, I have a love affair with this event because it's an ecumenical event. It brings in as many churches as want to participate. And we have over 30 churches now. And Thomas, you know about it because every year we pick a service project. And last year we picked your project, which is the Alliance for Youth that helps so many children in this town from ages 13 to 20, isn't it? Yeah.
Correct.
And the children that are homeless, addicted, wonderful kids. And you have that wonderful youth resource center that you've been working with at the Victory Church. So that's been our joy, and I love that part of it. That every year we pick a service project. And so this year's our 30th year. And over these 30, this is going to be our 30th. Over these years, we've raised over close to $100,000 for these variety of service projects. Everything from Alliance for Youth to grandparents raising grandchildren to the rescue mission to Grace Home for homeless veterans. And this year our project is Peace Place, which is another wonderful one for families with children with learning and, you know, various disabilities. And you're going to be doing something more about Peace Place very soon, I know.
Absolutely. We'll have, joining us for the second half of the show will be Lisa Libertelli Dunn, who's the director of operations, to learn more about the wonderful things that Peace Place is doing.
Right. And then in addition to the service project, we always open with a prayer. And this time we have four different men from four different churches opening in prayer. And my husband was one of the first that we started to bring more and more men into the fold. And now more men come, and we're thrilled. A lot of women came initially, and they still do. And then after the prayer, of course, we have the service project. And then we have music. We have a variety of musicians come. And then the final one is a speaker, a very inspirational speaker. And this year is no exception, because we really have some fabulous speakers this year, leading off with Shane Etzweiler, who's the CEO, the president of the Great Falls Chamber, and he's also a pastor. And he preaches out at Fairfield and sometimes in Lincoln at his father's church in Lincoln. And he really loves the word, and he loves to share the Lord in many areas. And then the second, that's May 6th. These begin the first Thursday in May, and it goes through the four Thursdays in May. And then we have on the second one, and this is the most unique that we've ever had, I think, in terms of a musician and a speaker. This gentleman, through friends, people know we have this series, and they call and said, "We know somebody you should get in touch with." And this person is Pastor Randy Ludeman, and he is a Messianic Jew. And he has quite a congregation in Montana. He has one in Lewistown, and then he streams his messages every Saturday afternoon from the Geraldine Community Church. He was born in Great Falls, raised in Geraldine, which is he lived on a ranch 25 miles out of Geraldine. And so when he was a little boy, he started playing the piano when he was four. And he composed his first piece when he was six. And his mother saw the talent that he had and would drive he and his sister to Great Falls every Tuesday until he got out of high school, all the way through school, with a teacher in Great Falls. A lot of us remember her. May Carol Zeman was her name. And she was a very good teacher. And then he went on with his music. And he's going to be playing the piano. And not only will be, and I, so I consider him a world-class pianist. And he has a world-class violinist playing with him. And here you see the depth of talent we have in Montana. This violinist is from Hobson, Montana. Little tiny Hobson. And I got to give you her name. Her name is Catherine Kenny Rude, R-U-D-E. And so we're thrilled. And that's the second meeting. And then he's going to go on and give us the message that day. Isn't that something?
Oh, I've heard him, and it is spectacular. When you listen to him, you understand the depth of his command of the piano, and it's telling that he's been doing it since he's 4 years old.
Yeah, I know it. And then the third speaker, we shouldn't forget her, because we're very blessed that she was able to work us into her busy schedule. And she's a lady, she calls herself a cowboy from Conrad, and it's our Lieutenant Governor, Kristen Juris. And she's a woman of faith. She's very dedicated. She gave the prayer at the recent Foothills banquet, the Foothills Christian School banquet. She gave the prayer when the Russell Museum had its groundbreaking for expansion, and she gave the prayer there. And someone came to me and said, the best prayer given today was at that groundbreaking by Kristen Juris. So that's the kind of reputation she has. So we're looking forward to a great message by her. And then the final speaker will be Pastor Anna Marat from Our Savior's Lutheran Church. So that's the caliber and the variety of speakers and musicians. And, Pam and Gary Hart will be performing one of the sessions. And we just are thrilled with the cross-section. And I should mention that another person that just stepped in for us at the last minute is Mark Dunn, who's a local attorney. And when you describe Mark Dunn, a lot of people know him. If you want to describe him, he's one of the best softball players on the New City team. And he's a father of five little girls. So that's pretty important.
Love it. Y'all need your ringer for softball.
Yeah.
I know that's a big deal.
I know it.
So what I want to touch on is how did this come about? I think it's such a great idea, and I love the mission statement, right, is that it's a non-denominational annual gathering to glorify God, inspire Christian fellowship, and bring awareness to a nonprofit charity.
Mm-hmm.
The simplicity of it, the beauty of it, and mm-hmm. from being at these, they are really inspiring. How did this come about?
Well, it goes way back to a minister's wife, Margaret Towne. She was a wonderful lady, loved her, and she kind of said, don't we need to do something that's non-denominational that can bring churches together in a meaningful way and take it one step further and do something really constructive on top of this, not only for fellowship, but to benefit some good folks in the community too. And so combining all of that with her idea, and so I have to give her the credit. And we were a part of that first group that said, let's make this work. And it was initially held at the First Presbyterian Church for many years. And then, of course, with COVID, things have changed in some of the churches where they had to cut back in terms of how many could gather and that type of thing. So New City has a youth facility, the Youth Resource Center, and they were willing to take it on. And so we had, you know, social distancing, and we did have masks and did all those things last year. And they welcomed us back this year, too. So that's where it is, Youth Resource Youth Facility. It's 114 North Park Trail, on where all of the farm equipment dealers are. Caterpillar, we're right next to Hovind Equipment, and we even have one of our committee that's out on the highway with signs so you can find it. A very large parking lot and easy access to get in. So if you have walkers or wheelchairs, you can easily get in the door.
And then I know great food from Electric City Coffee every week, right?
And you're the deliverer of the food.
That's where it's a small town. So I love it. You get that sunset, you know, over the Missouri River, which is just spectacular.
Sunrise. Yeah, sunrise. Because this year it's in May. See, that's normally the time of the year. But last year, because of COVID, we didn't have it until September. But we're back to our normal time. So there'll be a lot more sun at that time of the day this year.
Absolutely. So I want to give our listeners an understanding of your values, Norma. I talk a lot about this, that in our 24-hour news cycle, we see folks as a caricature of themselves, right? Or just as a simple a series of positions. And I think that breeds contempt, right? Is we don't investigate, we don't look into things because there's always the next story coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And so, As a journalist, what values did you bring to your work? And do you have any thoughts on, you know, what could we see now and, you know, those of us doing journalism that can help us just to stay informed and to gain that knowledge and wisdom? That's what I always say we want, right? We want an understanding of what is the right choice, right? Not just the next thing. Not mm-hmm. just the information feed.
Wow, that's a pretty heavy question. I should know you'd come up with one like that. Oh, I keep thinking of Dave, our retired chief of police, Dave Bowen's wife's name of her business. It's called Simplify, and she helps people simplify. So, but if you want to get down to some real basics, you know what my two words are that are my basics that have helped me a lot. They were given to me by a mentor of mine that I just admired so much. There might be a few people out there, especially people with the Lewis and Clark programs around Great Falls. His name was Bill Sherman, originally from Helena, a great successful businessman, a good friend of ours, helped us get the Russell auction off the ground. And he would often he'd call me and we'd talk for long, long times on the phone. And he'd say, well, what projects are you working on now? And blah, blah, blah. And we'd go on about them. And what he said to me stayed with me. And I've shared this with a lot of young people because there are two words that very few people adhere to. And he told me this too. He said, if you'll practice these two words, you'll be very successful in whatever project you take on, whatever thing you want to do. And I'll just pause a minute and see if people, how close they can come to these two words on your listening end of the show. And the two words are follow through. And you think about them and you think about your circle that you're in and how many people really do that. how many people follow through on anything. And a good example of that is when you get together with someone you haven't seen for a long time, and they say to you, well, we need to get together sometime. And my answer is always, sometime is not a day of the week. Let's get out our calendars right now and put down a date to get together. And I've done this regularly now with a 90-year-old friend of mine, and we get together every other month. And I know you have friends like this that you make a point to get together with on a regular basis because they enrich your life so much. And these kind of people, if you take time to be with them, will enrich your life. And you need that as food for the soul. You've got to feed your soul through it all. If you don't take time for friends, you're going to be a very shallow person. And I just can't tell you. I mean, we all love family, and but friends are few and far between. And if you can even count on your hand five really good friends, you're very rich. And so that's a basic value of mine. I mean, some of us have friends going clear back to grade school and kindergarten. My husband has a friend that they've been friends since kindergarten, and that's a long time. So that's one basic value. And I guess another one is if you're going to do something, have a passion about it, have excitement about it. And if you don't do it, because that'll give you the energy you need, because a lot of this stuff takes energy. I mean, I'm heading into my 53rd Russell Art Auction. Now, I'm not in the inner circle anymore, but I'm a huge admirer of it. And when that thing started in 1969, when we got the idea from going to our first auction out there in, I guess it was Geraldine. Isn't that a riot? Geraldine, Montana. Went to my first auction there. Came back to the ad club. They needed an event, a fundraiser. I said, got a great idea. Let's do an auction. And why don't we call it the Charles Russell Auction? Because he's our most famous citizen. And you know what they said? Who wants to honor a dead artist? And I could have said, okay, and just gone along, but I thought, no, this is a good idea. So got a couple good guys helping me on it and went back and said, no, let's try it. Let's try it. Well, they said, oh, all right, we don't have anything else to try. So they tried it. It was a success. And now 53 years later, it's still going.
I was going to say, that's an example of follow through.
Yeah.
So follow through, compassion. Yeah.
Energy. Well,
and
enthusiasm. Yeah, passion and enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is probably, and you've got tons of that, Thomas, you do. And I've never known anybody in my life that uses the word awesome more than you do.
You that do. May all be just a lack of vocabulary, too.
No, but and, you know, if you have enthusiasm, it's very contagious. And you can turn something that isn't very much fun into fun and have fun as you get into these projects.
That's great advice. So a couple little adjuncts to that I do think have helped me that I've learned from you, right, is one is if you can complete something in 5 minutes or less, do it now.
Uh-huh.
Never put that on the list. And I love folks that you never want to, what's the great saying? If you're thinking about everything, you're doing nothing. And those are ones that I see and you put it into, try to put that into practice, mm-hmm. and to be deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
Right, about what you're doing. And then also one thing, you have a lot of things going on in your life, right? And we have a tendency to make, I have this obligation, I have that obligation. And I love a better way to frame it, I have this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Winston Churchill that has this famous quote that really, if you can be the optimist, you're going to just have a better life. But
yeah.
He said, the pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity, and the optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty.
There you go. That's a good one. I don't know if I've mentioned you among the most memorable. I did a lot of memorable interviews, but to meet and talk to Norman Vincent Peale and his wife, Ruth. That was a thrill. They had been up in Shelby to speak at a farm forum, and they were coming back through Great Falls to catch an airplane out of Great Falls, and that's where I caught up with them. What a thrill. I mean, their Guidepost magazine's still going. I get it every week or every month. And they'd been married 65 years, and I guess I talked to, she'd written a book about being a wife, and I said, do you want to give me the secret of your long and happy marriage? And she, here's what she said, and the women in your audience are going to love this. She said, well, since we're both women, I can tell you that women are smarter than men, but it's our job never to let them know it. And I love that. And then I asked Dr. Peel, I said, what's your advice to give to people that maybe are really needing some encouragement at this time? And he said, whenever I can see somebody that needs some encouragement, I always tell them there's always light at the end of the tunnel. And always look for that light, and they will find it. And I never forgot that. And I thought, amen. I mean, we all have those dark days and those dark moments, but there's the light there too, to always look for the light. The other thing I wanted to mention is the to-do list. And I have dealt with to-do lists most of my life. And they are helpful to keep you on task. And I went to this little seminar one time. Everybody had to bring how they keep organized. And everybody had a different system. Everybody. And now I think people mostly use their phones to keep their schedules and stuff. But I always get a packet of yellow pads. The yellow pads, like this right here. And at the end of the week, I write down all the things I have to do that week in different categories. And the joy of checking things off is the greatest, most satisfying thing I do. And the things that I haven't done that week, I transfer over to the following week.
I love it, though, because this is all now supported by brain science, right? That you get that dopamine spike when you accomplish something.
Yeah.
And so this is a childhood story of mine. We had clipboards, both my brother and I.
Uh-huh.
And every day we would come in after school, and we had our list of things to do. So I totally understand. At the time, I can't say I was a huge fan of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it did instill in me to be diligent and to have your priorities and to work on things and accomplish them.
Right.
And then I'll never forget, I think it's a Marine that's saying this, but he says, if you want to change the world, start by making your bed. And it does get that it's those small things.
Yeah. And I think there's this tendency to want to do these huge things in the world, but you need to start with yourself and clean up yourself and make yourself presentable to the world. And first and foremost, work on your soul. Make sure your soul's in order. And then make sure your body's in order. And my aunt lived to be 97. She said, make sure that you make a regular appointment to keep your toenails beautiful. and it's the greatest luxury. You know, a lot of women, who wants to fool with their toenails? But it really is a nice little pattern to get that done.
That's a great place to end on. I want to make sure, Norma, before you leave, that we get in the details on. So this is Early Risers every Thursday in May.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone is interested in coming, how can they sign up?
Okay. They can call this number, 453-7078. It's $20 for the four sessions. It's $5 per session. We can mail you a registration form if you're interested, and we would just love to see you there. So I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. Help us make this our most wonderful one yet. And we thank Thomas for being on our committee.
It's truly been a joy. So again, it is Early Risers, and they are a non-denominational annual gathering to glorify God, inspire Christian fellowship, and bring awareness to a nonprofit charity. This year it is Peace Place. We're going to be hearing in a minute more about what Peace Place is doing for our community. But I encourage everyone listening. It truly is just a joyful experience. And I hope to see many of you out there on Thursdays in May. So, Norma, with that, just having you in and your wit and wisdom truly is a blessing. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. And you're a very good interviewer.
Learn from the best.